Let me give you just a couple statements before we start. I do want to teach about tithing. I believe tithing is a very biblical concept. I'm going to show you the Bible verses for it. And hopefully it's something that you would allow God to teach you to get involved in. Among all born-again adults, a survey that I found recently said that 9% of them contributed one-tenth or more of their income. That means 9% of people who say, I am born again, would do what we say is tithing, contributing one-tenth. That's what the word tithe means, actually. The word tithe means a tenth. So if you look at, this is Americans, if you look at all Americans, and you were to ask them, this is what the survey did, do you tithe? Less than 10% say, yes, I tithe. 9%. As an independent Baptist church, I want you to understand something. As we're teaching the core values of our church and teaching about what our specific church is, we're an independent Baptist church. That means we don't receive any funding from any large organization. Some denominations do. We don't. We don't get any help from anybody. This is us. Our members, us together, we are the ones who let me back up. God is the one who provides. He gives it to us, and He trusts us to use what He gives us to be able to take care of the needs of the church. So we don't have a parent company that helps with the costs. Here's the way God does it. God brings His people into His church with the resources needed to care for it. You see that when it comes to talents and abilities. Church members have gifts and talents that the church needs to reach its community. And this is the way God does it. This is God's plan. God says, I have a plan for a church in this community, and I'm going to bring the people into that church with the talents and gifts and abilities to reach that area with the gospel the way I want it reached with the gospel. That's how God puts the people in the church. You are here for a reason, and you have a set of talents and a set of gifts and a set of abilities that God knows about, and God wants you to use in your church to accomplish His purpose for your church, reaching this area with the gospel, helping other people to grow, discipling Christians. God wants to use you for that. And whenever you look at finances, it's very similar. Church members, God brings the church members together, and they have the finances needed to fund the ministry that God wants His church to fulfill. Now, God's got a different plan for every different church, but in our church, God has brought us here. And whatever plan God has for us to fulfill, He's going to use us to make that happen. Now, sometimes He'll use somebody else. We had a lady from Kentucky that's been at our church. She's visited a few times. Some of you may remember her. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she sent a card. She said, I sold my house, and here's the profit on it. I'm downsizing. Here's the tithe on that. She said, I've been to your church. I see that your church is a church that cares about the gospel, cares about souls. And she sent some money that way. So sometimes God uses, He can use whatever He wants to use. Sometimes He'll use other people, but for the most part, God uses us. It's us to take care of the needs of our church. First of all, I want you to see Genesis chapter 14. The tithing is taught in the Bible. Tithing is taught in the Bible. I gave you a handout sheet. If you have it, you can start taking notes. Who didn't get the handout sheet? Anybody? All right. Tell you what, we're not going to take the time right now to give it to you, but I will review this next week. So just listen. Maybe you can remember it. And I didn't realize we had so many. So remember them. We'll fill them out as we go. All right. So here's our first note. Abraham exemplified the tithe and introduced it in scriptures. Abraham exemplified the tithe and introduced it. When you see Abraham, this is the first time you see somebody tithing. It's the first time the Bible talks about tithing. Interesting to note is that Abraham tithed before God gave the law to Moses. Before God gave the law, before the Ten Commandments, before Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, before any of that, Abraham had already tithed. So Genesis chapter 14, look at this. Verse number 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. All right, Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. The first time we see tithing mentioned in the scriptures, it is Abraham tithing to this king called Melchizedek. Now, whenever you get to Hebrews, actually, I'm going to have you turn there this morning. I was planning to wait on that, but I don't want you to have to remember it all the way till next week. So Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. The Bible gives us just a little bit more detail about who this Melchizedek is. Abraham went to this battle, and he fought this battle. He rescued his nephew Lot from this conglomeration. My mind is not thinking of words I'm trying to think of today. Anybody else ever have this an alliance of these kings? And Abraham goes in and he rescues Lot from these kings, and he comes back and what he had what they would call the spoils of battle, the spoils of war. His servants went, and everything that they took from the other armies that they defeated, they came back, they called them the spoils, and they gained those to themselves. Abraham was coming back toward his house, and he meets Melchizedek. Melchizedek is this king of Salem. We'll see a little bit more about him in Hebrews. When Abraham meets Melchizedek, he gives him one-tenth of everything that he just gained in these battles, the spoil of these battles. He gave him one-tenth of all his increase. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 tells us a little bit more about who Melchizedek is. Look at Hebrews 7, 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Who are we talking about here? Sounds like it's just a king. But when you go to the next verse, look at the description of this king Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, talking about Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Abraham met the Son of God coming back from this battle. No father, no mother, no beginning or ending of days. And it made like the Son of God. I can't explain it any more than to tell you what God says about that. It's called a Christophany in the Old Testament, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. A theophany would be called the appearance of God in the Old Testament. When God shows up and he's the Son of God, this is a Christophany as well. And Jesus is walking in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that story? Nebuchadnezzar looks in and he says, I see four men. We threw three in, but there's four men, and the fourth is like the Son of God. So what we would call a Christophany, where Jesus appears in the Old Testament. Abraham comes back from this battle. He meets the Son of God, and he gives him 10% of everything that he had. That's what the word tithe means. So tithing is taught in the Bible. We see Abraham exemplifying the tithe, and then Moses clarified the tithe and documented exactly what it should be. Abraham, by example, we see that he tithed, and he showed us, he introduced it in the Scriptures. Moses clarifies it. Look at Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus 27. We'll get to the New Testament in a minute. But Leviticus chapter 27, you remember God gave his law to Moses. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments. There's actually a whole bunch more instructions, commandments that God gave to Moses. But when he gave Moses these laws, chapter 27, verse 30, it clarifies what the tithe should be. Leviticus 27, 30, the Bible says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, when we see the word tithe, we might be thinking of different things. The word tithe means tenth. That's simply what it means. So when you read this verse, you could say the tenth of the land. Whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees is the Lord's, it's holy unto the Lord. Look at verse 31. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. So if a person said, I don't want to give this as tithe, God said, well, that's fine. You don't have to give that exact thing. Give twice what that is worth. Instead of giving a tenth, you give a fifth, all right? I believe that is the right way to do that math. He shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. But look at verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So here's what Moses is doing. Moses is clarifying. He says, everything that you receive, everything that the ground brings forth, everything that if you have cattle and you have goats and you have sheep and camels, everything that you are increased by, that doesn't belong to you. That belongs to God. The tenth is, the Bible says, holy unto the Lord. Abraham exemplified the tithe and introduced it. Moses clarified the tithe and documented exactly what it should be. It's not just a random amount that we think. I'll give a little bit to church. I remember my pastor in Texas would say, now some of y'all come to church and you just tip the preacher. Like giving a tip to the person at the restaurant that serves you. That's not what tithing is. Tithing is already a set amount. It's one-tenth. It's one-tenth of our increase, and it's already God's. It belongs to Him. It's holy unto the Lord. Abraham exemplified it, Moses clarified it, and Jesus verified it. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And verse number 23, it's an easy one to find. I'm actually going to use this verse for our message this morning. We're going to take the teaching on tithe and launch off into something that I think will be very helpful for you. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, Jesus said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," with an exclamation point, right? An exclamation point, "Woe unto you, tithes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Hypocrites are actors. "For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say, "How dare you continue tithing? You're supposed to be paying attention to judgment, mercy, and faith." Jesus didn't say that. He said, "You're tithing on mint and anise and cumin. These small little herbs, you're tithing on even those little things, but you're omitting something. You're omitting the weightier matters of the law." We'll talk about these things during our message this morning. Judgment, mercy, and faith. You're omitting those things. But He didn't leave it at that. What did Jesus say after that? He said, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Jesus didn't stop the tithe. He said, "You're doing right. You're doing right in tithing on things, but you're doing wrong in that you're making such a big deal about the tithe, and you're forgetting the other things that are weightier and important." Jesus verified the tithe. So Abraham exemplified it. Moses clarified it. Jesus verified it. We ought to give God the first 10% as tithe. And then give God anything else as He directs you to give. Sometimes God directs us to give more than the tithe. I remember during a missions conference one time, and I was sitting right about three or four rows back, and as I was sitting back there, God just putting on my heart, "You need to give something more to missions." And we were able to give an offering to missions that year. And sometimes God directs us to give more. But what God says is the first 10% belongs to Him. Let me give you a statement that at first doesn't make sense. It seems like an irony. We were talking about ironies the other day. It seems like an irony. You can live better on 90% than you can on 100%. The Bible teaches that very clearly. When we see God's blessings, and I'll be teaching on this next week, when you see God's blessings over and over and over, where God teaches us that He's going to bless us when we give, bless us when we tithe. But not just that. You'd call it anecdotal evidence, but that means something that can't be proven except you just said that it happened, right? I'm just going to say that it happened. My wife and I decided to tithe when we first got married almost 22 years ago, and we made that decision. And God has blessed. It's not always financially, but often it has been where the bills have been able to be paid. We don't always know where the money's coming from, but it comes and things get paid. And there's other areas as well. We'll talk more about the blessings as we go forward next week. The vast majority of Christians in America do not give to God's work. A church is usually made up of only 10 to 25% of tithers. Now, maybe it's because nobody taught us to give when we were kids. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. How are we teaching our kids? Are we teaching our kids to tithe? I want to challenge you to teach your kids to tithe. If your children give like you do, if my children give like I do, will they be blessed by God for tithing? That ought to convict us. If my children give like I do, will God bless them because they're tithing? I just want you to consider that. Think about that. Teaching your children to tithe might be the most important stewardship principle that they'll ever learn. Learning to budget's good. We need to learn to keep a budget. We need to learn not to spend more than we make. You know, if your outgo exceeds your inflow, then your outgo will be your downfall. Something like that is what I heard. These are principles. But the most important financial principle that we can teach our kids is to tithe. Why? Because it's obeying God. God's plan is to tithe. And I'll teach you more as we go through this. I've got three more minutes to look at Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I want you to see this. Tithing is God's plan. Tithing is God's plan. It's not my plan. If it was my plan, if somebody said, okay, you're getting ready to go start a church, how are you going to pay for it? I don't know. What would you come up with? Charge people at the door when they come in? Charge a membership due? There are religions that look at it that way. That's not the way we do it. The tithe is a free will gift. It's an offering that we choose to give. All right? God's plan. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Actually, I better turn there myself. Stop talking and turn there. All right, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive." This is God talking. He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." God's plan, this is interesting, is based on equal percentages, not equal amounts. God says, bring the tithe, bring the tenth. Bring the tenth of your increase into the storehouse, right? So he doesn't say to every Christian needs to give $100 a week. We had a man, whenever we first started the church, he came to me, he was so excited. We were about maybe 2 months into our new church. We were meeting in the elementary school. We're setting up folding chairs and the fold-up pulpit and everything. And he came to me, he was so excited. He said, "Pastor, I've got an idea. I've got an idea." He said, "If every person that comes to church would give $50 a week, we just tithe $50 a week, that'd take care of everything." Now, that wasn't a bad idea, but it wasn't God's idea. See, God's idea is everybody to give 10% of our increase. $50 to one person might not be much, but $50 to another person might be an impossibility. You can't give $50 if you only make $10 this week, but you can still give 10%. God's plan is to give the one-tenth. Mark chapter 12, I'm going to read it to you because we only have 2 minutes left. Mark chapter 12, verse 41, you've got Jesus. He's looking with his disciples at the treasury there by the temple. Mark 12, 41, the widow comes up, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Well, yeah, go figure, right? The rich people can give a lot. That's what you would expect. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. She barely gave anything. These rich people came in, and they threw a lot into the treasury. This isn't a parable. This is actually Jesus there with his disciples watching. The rich people come in, and they put a lot in. This widow comes. Jesus knew she was a widow. I don't know if everybody else would have known. Maybe they would have. And she takes 2 mites, and she puts it into the treasury box. And then Jesus makes this comment. He called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, this is Mark 12, 43, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." That's no, no. Can you imagine the disciples saying, I saw them. The rich people threw a bunch into the treasury. They're like throwing bills in. And this widow comes in. She just throws in 2 little mites, the smallest pieces of money that you could have. She throws it, just 2 of them. No, she didn't give more. Jesus said, yes, she did give more. How is that even possible? And he explains it, verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Jesus looked at that percentage. They gave a little bit of what they had. If somebody, trying to think of an example to use that's not going to be politically polarizing. Okay, never mind, I won't use that example. If somebody was to give a lot of money, all right, but they have, I'll just have to say it. I saw a statement that said Donald Trump was going to be giving $1 billion towards the wall. I don't know if it was true, it was on the internet, right? I looked at that and say, okay. He's got lots of billions of dollars to give. Okay? But if somebody in our church was to say, Pastor, I'm giving $1,000 to the church, I'd be like, whoa! Right? $1 billion is a lot more than $1,000. But the percentage of what that person owns is not that much. When we give to God, God doesn't say, I want you to give equal amounts. He says, I want you to give equal percentages. Everybody, 10%. That's something we could all do. And that's something that God requires. I'll pick up with that next week. Listen, I want you to get this. There's a couple reasons. One, this is God's plan for providing for the church and us reaching the world with the gospel. God's financial plan for reaching the world with the gospel is tithes and offerings. But the second thing, if you're not tithing, you're missing out on God's blessings. I've experienced it. I've seen people that have experienced it. All through my life, I've heard testimonies of people, and as they give to God and as they tithe, God has blessed them. I don't want you to miss out on that. We're out of time this morning. I will pray, and then we'll continue with our service at 10:30. And then if you have any questions about what we talked about with budget, look it over. I'll stick around after the morning service. I'll come early before the evening service. I want your questions to be answered. Please feel free. Father, thank you for letting us be able to meet here this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people saved yesterday. It's soul winning. That's so exciting. I pray that you bless our service to follow in just a few moments. Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us a heart, just a soft heart, that doesn't say, what do I have to do, but says, what do I get to do for God? And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.